Ladies and gentlemen, the American Pie Forum.
Jimmy, what's happening, baby?
How's it going, babe?
Everything's fine.
Yeah, looking good. What's with the work clothes, though? I thought you owned that construction company. What are you doing in here?
I had a contract deadline to meet this evening, Jimmy. You know I'm mad as I can be? Three guys called in sick this evening, and I had to work twice as hard, two jobs, just to meet my deadline. You know, I can understand these guys, man. They don't seem to think before they call in sick.
A lot of stuff going around. How do you know they're not really sick?
Hey, Jimmy, you know if the guy was really sick, I wouldn't complain. But on a beautiful day like today, I give you odds that at least one of these guys...
Hey, how you doing? What a fantastic day, huh? Hey, give me a beer, man.
Hey, man. If I give you a beer... Top all those pills, you're gonna get sicker.
Now look at Dr. Welby over there. Hey, listen, when you quit popping that blackberry brandy and those time capsules, then I'll listen to you. In the meantime, just give me a beer.
Hey, brother, look like you're delivering for the drugstore. You wear prescription glasses when you drive?
Very funny. It just so happens that I have a different job.
What do you do?
I'm an interstate skivvy waiver.
Interstate skivvy waiver? Or would that translate to mean flagman on the highway crew?
You got it.
Why ain't that work?
On account of these pills.
You really that sick, man? You look a little pale around the eyes, but you don't look like you're on your last leg.
Look, it's really none of your business. But I'll tell you, just to get you off my back. Now, I'm not really sick, but I gotta fake it, you see, because I called in this morning. The foreman is gonna come around later on with some forms for me to fill out.
Don't you think your boss is gonna check on you?
Well, sure. What do you think he's coming around for? I could fill out those forms on Monday. But when he gets here, boy, I'm gonna look like I got the barbaric plague.
What crew do you work for?
Gale's Highway Construction. You know, it's an interstate job on the west side. What do you ask?
Oh, no reason at all. I know a couple of guys who work over there. Did you like your work?
That's all right, but I'll tell you, they've been pushing us kind of hard the past couple of weeks. I figured I got a day off coming to me.
So you're going to take a day off, call in sick, and still get paid for it, huh?
You got it. Oh, what a fantastic day, huh?
But what about the other guys? Don't you know they have to work twice as hard to compensate for you?
Are you kidding? Those guys can work three times as hard and never get out of second.
Well, like the song say, baby, nice work if you can get it.
Hey, come on, it's easy. I'll give you a couple of pointers. You look like you could use a vacation yourself.
I wouldn't want my boss to find out. You know, just in case I wanted another job, I wouldn't want it on my work record that I was late getting to work, called in sick when I wasn't, and goofed off on the job. You understand what I mean, huh?
Oh, who worries about 10 minutes? Besides, who's going to find out?
Oh, yeah, speaking of time, baby, I got to go. I got a 1 o'clock appointment. I'll see you later, yeah?
Appointment? That's a funny way to talk about a job you're going to. Look, just because you're a minority, you don't have to act,
Buff about what I do for a living?
That's right. I do the same thing, and I'm not proud.
You have no cause to be, my friend. You want a couple of aspirins? What's your name?
Stanley Myron Hill. I don't need any of that stuff. I get high on life. What's your name?
Nat. Nat Gales.
Hey, you know that's the name of the outfit that I work for. Isn't that a coincidence?
Quite a coincidence.
Nat Gales.
I see you around.
Yeah,
pal.
Nice talking to you.
Is a retail salesman in the menswear business, and I basically chose it on two things. I like people, and I like clothes.
Well, I'm a grocery store clerk. I really don't know how to tell you really why I chose it. I think it was mostly a challenge to find out whether or not I could do this type of work.
My occupation is in retailing. I went into retailing as a profession because I wanted a challenge. I enjoyed working with people, and I wanted a profession that would definitely have advancement possibilities.
I'm a salesman for Thorsted Chevrolet in the new car department. I've been here 16 years. I chose it because I feel that the selling profession is probably the most lucrative as far as making money.
Well, my occupation is insurance sales. I chose it because I thought it was a challenge, good opportunity for making money, public relations, and you're helping people out and their needs, their everyday needs.
So I think a sales job gives you much security. I work part-time, which is fine as far as I'm concerned, and it gives me a chance to be out with people and yet home when I want to be home.
Well, real estate sales are what I would say a fantastic career for anyone. Number one, it requires no formal college education. Matter of fact, it doesn't even require a high school education.
Oh, I don't think you need very much education.
I have a high school education plus about 2.5 years of college.
Well, there really isn't any formal education that is required. You can just gain experience coming here.
High school education only.
I'd sure like to have a college education, but I feel that I probably make more than a lot of college graduates do in what I'm doing right now.
I think that the most important thing you have to have is common sense. You know, Jack Kinney once said there's a time to fish and a time to cut bait. You have to be able to recognize when to fish and when to cut bait.
Read more about sales opportunities in this week's issue of the American Pie Forum newspaper. You can pick up a free copy at your local vocational technical school or your local employment security office. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Judd Strunk.
You folks, my mother always said the tendency is there. Because I'm from a drinking family, I don't make any bones about it. If there's a nip in the air, my grandfather'd grab it. And he was a beauty. I mean, he was the only one I ever knew that ever switched from Segrams to Jim Beam without leaving Segrams. he loved it, you know. And I can remember when I was a kid, at my birthday party one time, he blew the candles on my cake. And they lit. But I was sitting in the bar. When I was a kid, I used to go into the saloons with my grandmother and grandfather, and one time he just got plowed, and he fell right off the stool, right flat on his back on the floor. And I was about that high, and my grandmother looked down and said, "That's what I love about you, grandfather. He always knows when to quit." She was a great lady. She died when she was 97, childbirth. And I took him aside at the wedding reception. He married a 21-year-old girl when he was 98. And I said, "You know, grandfather, with this age difference, you're being 98, you're being 21. Your marital love life could be fatal." And he said, "If she dies, she dies." The other day, 1954, I guess it was 46, was the year Mabel Stapleton shot her husband with a bow and arrow so she wouldn't wake the kids. And I caught my Aunt Florence having a thing with another man, and I didn't mean to catch her, and maybe she wasn't, I don't know. But I know my Uncle Fred had left for the store, and this guy knocked on the door, and I was up talking to her. You know, like kids like to get in their aunt's bedroom, go through the jewelry, hang the pearls on your head. And she put me in the closet. And I was standing in the closet, and this guy came up, and they were talking out in the room. And finally, she said, I think Fred's coming. My Uncle Fred was coming back from the store. So she put the guy in the closet with me. And we stood there, man. And I said, "Dark, ain't it?" And he said, "Yeah, it's dark, it's dark." And I said, "I think I'm gonna scream." And he said, "Please, kid, don't scream." And I said, "You got $5? And he said, "Yeah, I got $5. And he took it out and he handed it to me. And we stood there a while longer. And he said, "I think I'm going to scream." He said, "Please don't scream, kid." He said, "You got another $5? I said, "Yeah." And he peeled it off. And gee, by that time, you know, Fred had left. And this guy just shot right out of the door and never talked to Florence, just right down, you know. Might have been a salesman for all I know. And I came out, and boy, she was mad at me. And she said, "What did you do?" And I told her the story. And I gave her the $10. And she said, "You get right down to the church and confess your sins." And I did. I felt bad about it. And I went down and went in the confessional, kneeled down. And I said, "Dark, ain't it?" He said, "Don't start that again." I think this is one of my most cherished songs. And it's probably one you haven't heard. I grew up with a kid. I was not in the generation that went to Vietnam, you know? But I went to VMI and my best friend went to West Point. And he was going to be the youngest colonel in the U.S. Army. I think he was going to be a colonel when he was 33. And he was killed over there. And what made it tough was that he was killed by an American.
With a rifle
in a pack. The only thing I read was they shot him in the back. That his boys can ride and hide the way their daddy did. And I got a prayer that says take care of the next door neighbor's kid.
Important message.
Wisconsin's vocational, technical, and adult education system has many dimensions. Can you find yourself in a VTAE program? Find out how you fit into Wisconsin's vocational, technical, and adult education system by calling the VTAE campus near you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Gerald.
Wish my back were 17 again. Been over with a couple of my lady friends cleaning bricks for a couple cents apiece. Ladies making the same money as me, and they ought to. Nearly threw my back out trying to keep up with them. Equal pay, equal work if it comes to that, man or woman. But I didn't always feel that way. Back there at the pie shop, you know, used to be Ferkel's General Store. That's where I worked. I remember one day, 36, 37, 38.
Hi, Jerry. Hello, Jerry. Ooh, looks like you hit the jackpot.
Well, payday, you know.
Yeah, the way you're gleaming, you think you own the world.
Well, 38 to 55 is nothing to sneer at, you know.
38-55? That's for this week, Jeremy?
Yep.
Ooh. You gonna have enough left over to take me to the Turtle Lake Taffy Pool come Saturday night?
Bet a whole lot left over because, you see, I got a raise since I got put up from that stock boy job.
Oh, how much of a raise did you get?
$8.55 and all the pickles I need at lunch.
Oh, never mind the pickles. Now, if my reckoning is right, I figure you was making $30 a week when you was a stock boy?
That's right.
Well, how come I'm making only $25 a week? I'm working your old stock boy job.
But it's not the same job, really. You're the stock girl.
You know me? I do everything you did, and then some.
What do you mean, everything? Why, you little cold water cleek?
Now, listen here, you crip-faking fool. I dress and clean. I stock the shelves. I dress the windows.
But you can't totally live like
yes,
me.
Yes, I can.
All this bibble-babble. Sounds like you two got Kranzheimer's disease.
Oh, Stanley, I'm sorry about the ruckus, but this feather-legged ribbon clerk over here thinks he should get paid more for doing the same job I do just because I'm a woman.
And just like I'm trying to tell her that a girl can't do the same work work that a man can do. And a man stronger. And
he's
tougher.
So what?
You ought to get paid more.
Now, that sounds like a lot of panwangle to me. Listen, I didn't come down here to get in the middle of no debate. Look, they're having a mumbly peg tournament come this Sunday at Piffin Cake Creek, and I was wondering if you was healed up enough if you'd like to play.
Jeremy, healed up? Well, what happened?
Well,
are you kidding? Didn't you hear? About 6 months ago, Jeremy, he got a hernia trying to pick up a flower bin. Boy, he got ruptured so bad, he doubled up like a sprung jackpot, just like that. They were walking clear down to the fire station. That truck came coming with the both bells ringing.
Well, oh, healed up now, so there.
Now listen, maybe you should forget about the mumbly peg. Why don't you try out for the tatting team at the church bazaar? Listen, I gotta run along. Take it easy, Samson.
I can still.
Now, what is it that you can do that I can't?
Well, all that stuff back there, I can move this.
Boy.
Jeremy, are you bothering Effie May again?
Me?
Bothering her?
Mr. Ferkel. Mr. Ferkel, I've been getting $5 short of what Jeremy used to make, and I'm working his same job, and I'm doing just as good as he did.
And I'm just trying to tell her that she's a girl. And
well,
that doesn't mean...
Hold on. I could hear you two going at it clear across the street. Effie May, I have to say that I agree with you.
What?
But it's kind of strange. I never thought of it that way before. Equal work, equal pay.
She's still only a girl.
Jeremy, she may be only a girl to you, but open your eyes, young man. She's a woman, and a darn good worker, too. Effie May, I'm giving you the same pay that Jeremy got. That's only fair.
Thank you, Mr. Ferkel.
Always pushing and shoving, insinuating herself into everybody else's business. But I kind of got used to it, especially when I started pushing and shoving back at her.
Today, more and more women are working at full-time jobs to support themselves and their families. Many of these women find themselves working at jobs which used to be considered reserved for men only. But even when working at the same job as a man, a woman might find herself bringing home less pay. Every working woman in America today should know that in 1972, the United States Congress passed a law which clearly prohibits wage discrimination on the basis of sex. This law requires that a man and a woman working at the same job in the same place receive equal pay treatment. If you should ever wish to report what you feel is a violation of this law, you may do so by contacting the Wage and Hour Division of the United States Department of Labor. This is listed in your telephone directory under United States government. If a woman is a breadwinner, there's no reason she should bring home only half a loaf.
How are you, Jimmy? Let's see the menu, huh?
Hey, buddy.
What?
What's with the Sherpa outfit? What'd you do, just get back from the Himalayas?
No, nothing like that. They have a pastrami on rye, a double the horseradish, and easy on the mayo.
What's with the hammers and the chisels? You a plastic surgeon or something? That's another joke. Are you really a mountain climber?
No, I just dress this way. Every Monday, it's the way I dress.
Excuse me. You said every Monday, this is the way you dress?
Yeah,
why just Mondays?
I go to the unemployment office to sign for my check. Hey, Jimmy, would you cash this check for me?
Let me get this straight. You collect unemployment compensation because you climb mountains?
Almost, but not quite.
Oh, explain it.
All right. I go down to the unemployment office to sign for my check, right?
Yeah.
So they try and find me a job, right?
Yeah.
So I go down dressed like this mountain climber. You see, I tell them that the only thing I know how to do is climb mountains.
Huh?
There's no mountains around for hundreds of miles. They can't get me a job, and then I qualify for another week.
Well, isn't that a little dishonest? I mean, don't you really want a good job?
Sure, I want a good job.
But the only thing they send me down for is menial labor. And who the heck needs an unemployment office?
Hold it. You got it all wrong, friend. First of all, it's not an unemployment office.
It isn't?
No, it's an employment service. They're supported by taxes, and they can get you a good, meaningful job.
Ah, baloney. Every time I go down there, they send me to that viewing machine to see if there's anything that I'm fitted for. Do they ever sit me down and ask me, somebody, a person, a human being, what I really like, what I'm interested in, what I would like to do? No.
Well, let's face it. The employment service is a big machine, but it's designed to help you. All you gotta know is how to push the right buttons.
Yeah, the only person that gets pushed around is me, myself, and I.
Well, stop pushing back. I bet you when you go in there, all you do is tell them that you want to work, right?
Right.
Wrong.
Wrong?
Wrong. Most people do just that, and it's wrong. What you got to do is walk in there and tell them what you're qualified to do. Tell them what kind of experience and training you've had, and what kind of work you're good at.
Yeah, big deal. I'll tell them everything, then they'll end up they wouldn't have for me, anything for me in the first place. So what good is all that going to do?
Hold on. Now, the employment service doesn't list all jobs that are available, just some. But they might be able to send you to someone who does. Or they might discover that you have a talent for some kind of work you never thought about. You see, they got employment counselors, not just placement people.
I didn't know that. You know, maybe I'll go down there. I'll bet you they get me a good job.
If you give them the right information. You see, they really care. Oh, by the way. Don't get rid of the outfit. Great for Halloween.
Hey, you know, that guy really knows all about the employment service.
He ought to, Stanley. He works for the employment service.
No kidding. What does he do?
He investigates fraudulent claims.
Time for us to go. It's been good to see you here. We hope you like your show. And the lights are going down. It's been good to see you down here in our part of town. We hope to see you back again sometime to laugh, to sing, to do your thing. Please come back to us again. Before we lose the lights, sing your song and dance your dance. Goodbye to satisfaction. Get your own piece of the action.
Jim Santulli as Jim the Bartender. This is Don Arthur speaking.